And it is still the largest holiday in the world. Yeah. See, in almost every corner of the globe, it is still holding out to be the largest celebration. On my street, there's a house that's on the block that there's a time that everybody puts decorations out at the end of October. Oh, and they do it up. But it's Christmas. It's barren. I pray for that house. That's all I got to say. But in fact, if you think about it, the focus of this one day a year, it's actually about a month long. It starts there in November, early November, and just carries right on through. So it's about 1/12 of the year, and it's focused on this one monumental day. But like every year that we encounter this moment, stop and think, where has our focus been? Where has our focus been for this celebration? It has been on shopping, get all those right gifts, on the decorating inside and outside of the houses. I used to be one of the ones that decorated outside of the houses. I used to call our house the gingerbread house. Man, I had lights, there were more lights there. Electric company loved me. But also, you think about it, there you are, you're putting up your tree. And there's a lot of work goes into putting up a tree. I watched my wife do it, and I've seen some of the other ladies decorate trees. You know, when we grew up as kids, that's what we did. We decorated a tree. You know, the boys got to help Dad while Sis, sat over. And he had this, because we always had real trees. And you clamped it up this way and clamped it up, and you adjusted this thing. And then you put the water in it, you put the aspirins in it, make sure it had a little bit longer of a life. But we would do all that, get it all set. And then he'd sit back and he'd say, okay, you guys decorate it. We're sitting there hanging the bulbs. But where we're hanging them, then he would sit down and say, too many over there. Spread them out. Move this. Do that. Okay, well, who's decorating this tree? Apparently it wasn't us. But that was our job, to decorate it. And then Dad took over. Then he put the icicles all over the tree. And then to boot. And then he'd say, okay, now everybody step back. Now it's Mom's job. Mom was the one who put up the manger every year. That was her job. She put it up. And then we got back, and Dad covered that tree with angel hair. Do you know what angel hair is like? Oh man, that stuff itchy. But Dad would cover it, and it would look beautiful, but you couldn't see all the decorations we put on the tree. Oh man, he loved that angel hair, did he not, sister? Okay, now I got a witness tonight, see, to that. But Dad was awesome at putting that train track up. We had an age-old train, the old one, and I still got it. We used to not know how to run it. We sped that thing around here. So he took little pieces of wood and made wedges and banked the tracks. I mean, he was into that way before they. Now they sell that stuff for you. It's all automatic. Yeah, Dad had to make all his own. But I remember getting that down, tapping him a little nail then. Well, he got done. And putting up all them houses. I still got Dad's houses. Sis said, I ain't doing that kind of stuff no more. You can do it. Yeah, I didn't put the platform up this year, and I heard from, I just kept hearing from my niece, Amber, saying, you know, Ozzy would really like to see a train. Oh, it just wasn't in us this year. But I promise you, next year, the Polar Express will come out of retirement. Because I think he'll be able to handle it. I don't think he'll touch everything. Hey, it survived Jack. He might be ready. Yeah, as long as he doesn't bring the excavators, we'll be okay. All right, that's all I got. Okay, all right. What do you think about that? Here we are. We're looking at what we're gonna bake. What kind of cookies we're gonna bake? What kind of our favorite foods? And you know, and I'm glad that they're here tonight because listen, you know, this is a family that goes to prepare, and they're gonna make. Y'all know what pigs in a blanket is? Stuffed cabbage. Okay. Now I'm telling you what. When they get together and they make stuffed cabbage, they make like 1,000 of them. You think I'm kidding you? You go to the Rupik and you go to the Payjack house, and I'm telling you what, they got them coming out, they're falling out of the freezer. Tyler, am I right? I'm telling you what, you had what, let's see, that's what, 18 pounds of ground meat and all that, and then you make it up, and how much more that grows. And then they don't, you know, you go to the store, you get them heads of cabbage. They went to Janoski's. Angela, they come home with cabbage. So they made how many cabbages? Okay, I exaggerate. 180. 180. Whew. That's a lot of pig in a blanket. Hallelujah. I used to make a hot sauce that you would pour that in and cook them in. I said used to. That was when I was into canning. That really kicked them up a notch. But you guys do it upright, I'm telling you. You taught the boys how to cook. And Nance, you sit back just like you're doing there. Everybody thinks you did it. Well, see, that's the queen. She sits back at the house the same way. Tyler, you did it. Troy. You know. And then they made pastels. You had a massive pastel. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting everybody. You know, that's what everybody's focus is. We seem to get focused and we get lost on all these things. We got to get prepared. You know. Are we going to have a party? We're going to have the family over? Okay, we got parties and places to attend because we've been invited. And then on top of that, what do we got? We got this fast-paced world. It is so crazy. Our nation. All these things are going on, and they just seem to consume us. But that's why I'm telling you, tonight is the night to just clear your minds of that stuff. No more to-do list. You know, the parties you're going to go to afterwards, if you're going to get together with family, it'll all still be there. It'll be there. Don't think about those things. Think about right now, about Jesus Christ, on his birth. That's what we're here for. That's what we're to be focused on. But this is not one time a year. We should be focused on Jesus every day. Because he sticketh closer than a brother. Clement Clark Moore wrote a famous poem, and it goes like this. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. Hearing that just makes you want to slow down, doesn't it? Slow down and enjoy it. Enjoy Christmas. Christmas should not be all rushed around. Christmas is special. Especially for the believers. But in many homes, that story is read. You know, as I reflected on it, I used to hear that story. It was read to us when we were kids. And I remember reading it to Leanne and Crystal, but I remember it was a bigger book. It was a large book. I remember the book. But also then, I got to read it. Now, I don't, there wasn't the same book, but I got to read that story to Gwen and Jack. It's like a, you know, it's one that's, to me, for me, the bell still rings. I'm just telling you. For me, the bell still rings. Christmas is special. And yeah, you might say, well, you know, do you celebrate Santa Claus? Well, I don't celebrate Santa Claus. But when I grew up, I believed in Santa Claus. You may think I'm wrong, but don't strip that away from the kids. When it's their time to know, hell no. Don't take their childhood away from them. Kind of excites you, especially if you watch these little ones right now. They're just at that age, you know, Ozzy, you know, the little ones, they're coming into it now. They're really starting to understand this. Understand this, you know, the Santa Claus thing, and you got to keep it separate, but you also got to teach them about Christ in it. But see, so we don't want to take that away from them. Hallelujah. Now, for most of you, you've been to a church service on Christmas Eve, okay? And you know what's going to happen. Everybody says, oh, it's cut and dry. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. But also there's a story that's involved with tonight. We call it the Christmas story. And it's in Luke chapter 2, which we're going to be going there. See, but Christmas is also a very pivotal time. You know that? This time is when time actually made a change. His birth was involved with the BC to the AD movement. Every calendar event is referenced to this moment, to the birth of Jesus Christ. So you think about that. In the Christmas story, not the one that Dean watches 24/7 or 24 hours, I should say, in one day. He probably watches it for the whole week, too. Not that Christmas story. The Christmas story. Okay? And you know the main characters in it. Right? Main character, Jesus, the baby. Right? We have the baby. And then we have what? We have the Virgin Mary, who is the mother of Jesus. And then we have Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, the carpenter. And then we have what? We have the angels. And then we have them shepherds. Got to have them shepherds. Wouldn't happen without them shepherds. They were the ones out there rejoicing and giving glory and praising God for what's bestowed to them. And we also know that it started and they went from Nazareth to Bethlehem because of a decree to take a census. Census. And then you have what? You have the manger, and we have the stable, and we have the star. Oh. Follow that star, follow that star. Hallelujah, follow that star. Remember that song? You can't see your hand in front of your face. Take a step of faith. Follow the star, folks. Follow the star, it leads to Jesus. So in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, now there were in the same country shepherds, living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel of the Lord stood before them. An angel of the Lord all of a sudden manifest and stand in before them, guys. Now maybe that don't mean much to you, you know. I don't know, maybe y'all have seen angels? You're probably cool with that. You know, hey, yeah, what's the big deal? Saw an angel. You know, they don't come in and knock at your front door. They just show up in your living room. And what do you say? Oh, hey, honey, get the lady locks out. Look who's here. Hey, how about brewing some tea? Yeah. Orange peacock, cut black. We want the good stuff. You know? Yeah, you're not understanding what these guys said. It just said, this angel came on and he stood before them. And they were terrified. See, these shepherds, though, you got to remember, they were the low class of society. They weren't allowed to even go into the temple to worship because they were religiously, you hear what I said, religiously unclean because of their professions. Shame on them for keeping them out. And God chose the shepherds to make the announcement to. Pretty cool. And also remember, God made a shepherd boy king of Israel. And he wasn't the tallest of them all either. But he had the heart of a warrior. He had the heart of a king. He had a heart that loved God. He feared nothing because of his God. So an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. This angel appeared, and I don't know how tall he was or how muscular he was, but I guarantee you, angels aren't wimps. Mm-mm. Do you imagine he shows up and he's standing there? You're like, okay. And then all of a sudden it's like all the lights on the sanctuary go on. And when they're on in here, you can't see. That's the reason we keep them, we don't put all the full power on. But can you imagine the light that happened at that moment? It went from literally darkness to daylight in their little area where they were at. So to say that it terrified them, I bet it did. So when Christmas came for the first time, just think about this for a minute. It didn't come with that, hey, Merry Christmas. How y'all doing? No. It scared people and it freaked them out that first Christmas. They had no idea what was happening. There's a big angel. The lights come on. And it's like daytime here. And then it's like a movie. You've seen them. Come on, you grew up with MGM and all of that. All of a sudden, there they come. They're singing. They're walking down out of the sky. And they got the lights coming down. And the angel says, don't be afraid. What is going on here? Yeah, don't be afraid. Right. When angels appear, what do they always have to say? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But then the angel has to clear his voice, and he said, and the opening line of everything in his story, he says, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Can you imagine him saying that, and all them shepherds, just, they're looking at each other, and they don't know whether to run, hide. There ain't no place to hide. You figure where they're at. They're on open ground. So they ain't nothing they can hide behind. And they got to stand there and keep listening. Because they ain't going to run very far. I guarantee you. That's what tonight is all about. It's about the good news. about the good news, which brings on the great joy. And it would be for all people, not just them, for all people. These simple shepherds could not have even known the magnitude of this moment. It'd be a domino effect all the way in to eternity. Billions who were to come, all affected by the words of the announcement from God, spoken by the angel. There's a song that Dean sings. What is that, billion times?
100 billion times.
When God spoke. And God spoke. These angels were speaking what God told them to speak. And when God speaks, things happen. Universes were created. I said universes were created. And it isn't over yet. They are flying. His word is moving. Yeah. And the speed of sound is 186,000 miles per second. Make that computation. And it's still happening. It's still going. His word is still producing. When you speak God's word, it produces, and it will keep producing, and it will keep producing if you put faith behind it. If you put faith behind it. Amen?
Amen.
These Bibles of ours contain the good news, which brings the great joy. So if you're not experiencing great joy, it's because you've been disconnected from the good news. You know how you reconnect? You word up. And then you start talking to God. Talk to God. Well, I don't know how to talk to God. Yeah, you do. You talk to one another, don't you? That's the same conversation you want. You don't have to be sit down and get all this formal stuff and prayer and that. Yeah, that's respectful. But he wants you to talk to him. He's your dad. He wants to hear from you. He's got time. He's got time for you. He got so much time for you, he sent his son to make sure that he could spend eternity with y'all. So much time he has for you. Eternity. Now the shepherds, they're doing their thing, right? And this has all happened. Now they're minding their own business when they receive this great announcement. It's an announcement. Surely it's a declaration is what it is. It's a declaration. Declaration. The Messiah is here. He said he is here. He was born. He no longer was coming. They were, he was announcing, he's here. I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Good news of great joy. Good news for all people. A Savior has been born. And God has found favor upon us. Remember the teaching we did on grace and favor? Favor. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. His favor rests upon us. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now, something happened for the shepherds at this moment. See, there seemed to be an urgency for them to check things out. Because in verse 15 it says, when the angels had left them and gone back up into heaven, you know, lights went out, boom, 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 and they were gone. And they weren't standing there with their mouths open. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Told us. The shepherd said one to another, let's go see what the angels have just declared to us. When the angel of the Lord appears to you and the heavens are opened up to you and a multitude of heavenly hosts are singing, what are you going to do? You're going to go check it out. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. See, there is a Savior. He's been born. He is in Bethlehem. There's a baby in a manger. You should go see him. When the angel leaves, you should make with haste and go and see him. The shepherd didn't have to worry about his sheep either. They could go. They were protected more then than they'd ever been. There wasn't nothing going to happen to them sheep. See, they put priority number one. Go see what God had just declared to them through the angels. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. So can you see her picking up her little baby after the shepherd spoke? She's holding him in her arms. See, in so many ways, just like I said today to Mary, is like every other mother. Amber, you can relate to this. When you first put your eyes on Ozzy, it's like, wow. That's my son. Yeah. And that's when your husband said, I'm a father now. I'm a dad. Life's going to change. Yeah, it changes. You've been given responsibility. And you're doing a great job. Doing a great job. But you can see her. She's just looking at this child, thinking about him being the Savior. But she has no idea. She doesn't know the plan. She doesn't know. But she knows he's destined for something big. And what's God going to use him for? She knows he's been said he's going to be the Savior. Is he going to be a warring king? What is he going to be? So in that moment, though, she's looking at him. Every second to her meant something. Everything was special. It was precious to her. She was holding the Savior of the world in her arms. It said, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. All those things that had been spoken over the child. As Mary held the child, she had just given birth to. You can just hear that prayer that she probably whispered to God. And this is from that song that we did years ago. And she probably whispered something like, give me this night to just be his mother. Give me this moment so that he can just be my child. He has the rest of his life to be Savior, but so little time to simply be mine. So give me, please give me this night. She wanted that precious time with him. She carried that baby for 9 months. And all during that time, he was hers all alone. Thinking back, you figure from the first day that she learned that she would have a baby. So once again, Mary surrendered her heart, her will, and her child back to the Father. Verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. See, I love Christmas. I love all the giving and receiving of gifts, all the celebrating that we do. That's it. I'm telling you all, tonight, this is what Christmas is all about. The birth of our Savior. And as those shepherds said, they went off glorifying and praising God. That's what we should be doing every day. Every day. Just not today, but every day. Amen. And you know, I was going to end there, but this was impressed upon me, and I put it down because it leads to the song that we're going to play when we do communion here. And this is the good news that brings the great joy in the story here in Luke. Is true tonight here at ACA, and it always has been true of every century. And it was true 117 years ago when the first words spoken on the AM radio were these words from Luke chapter 2. A man named Reginald Fessenden invented the AM radio. At first, all it could do was transmit Morse code, which was a pretty big deal back in those days. He was one of the chief inventors working for Thomas Edison. He worked out this new way of communicating so that all ships working up on the Atlantic Ocean in the northern seaboard could hear the tap, tap, tap of the Morse code. He had even done a transatlantic Morse code transmission, which was phenomenal back then. On Christmas Eve in 1906, my grandfather would have been 6 years old. That's how we always do Grancy's birthday, because he was born in 1900. 1906, he had been fooling around with this invention of his, and he had gotten it up to the point where he thought it was good enough that he could make a test and try to transmit human voice. So with no press releases, no news media blast, as we see. No social media. In the night, in the silence of AM radio, on Christmas Eve, 1906, Reginald Fessenden opened his Bible and read the very same chapter we have read tonight. And into the silence of the night came the Christmas story from Luke 2. The very first words ever spoken on the radio were God's word. Do you hear that history being taught anymore? No. They want to erase everything that indicates God had a part of the AM radio. He had a part in the inventor. You know, because of the birth, that was an inventor. That was before they came up with abortion. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Some of these great inventions we have may not be here today or may not have ever been here because we let that get into this nation. Don't let that be a bummer because we've done turned around. We've done turned that around. But can you imagine the ship's captain out on the Atlantic? And then every so often, all he would hear is be that tap, 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 tap of that Morse code. And all of a sudden, a voice comes out of that little box that's in the radio office. And they look at it. And you know they're all alone out there. And it's Christmas Eve. They're out there on the Atlantic. And someone starts to tell them the good news. That's why it's so important for us to tell people about the good news. Because the good news brings the great joy for all people. A Savior has been born to you. And He is Christ the Lord. After reading Reginald, he was also an accomplished musician. And after he finished reading, he played O Holy Night on his viola. And I think of my Gwen as he played the viola. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. And that's the way it happened this night, December 24th. 1906. For us, tonight is a holy night, a night to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It is the good news which brings great joy, and it is for all peoples. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So let's take communion together. Let's take communion to honor Him and honor His birth.